blessing. I want to thank God for the mothers in the church that helped take care of me. Amen. Mother Algie fixing me dinner every Sunday. And Mother Lucille used to fix me dinner, and the different ones that are a blessing to me. If I only ate their food, I might lose some weight. And I just thank all the mothers for the encouragement and the strengthful words and for just standing. It's important to stand. Amen. If you open up your Bibles to the book of Exodus, it won't be very long. We are going to have service tonight. I'm going to be preaching. I might end up finishing this message. We're going to give Ray a break. He hollering amen. Tim's been sweating. The mother elders better start sweating too. Exodus, the second chapter. I found out something. As I was looking through this, I realized something. We always look at, when we talk about these scriptures, we always look at Moses in Exodus, the second chapter, in the first verse. I'm sorry. We always have our focus on Moses. But when I was praying about this, God says, change your focus. You need to change your focus. And I realized something. How important that the woman that gave Moses birth was. And you know, the strange thing about it is, they don't mention her name. They just call her the daughter of Levi. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took him for an ark of bulrushes. She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Here we have a woman who conceived, gave birth to a man that was going to be a deliverer of Israel. And they never mentioned her name. They just call her the daughter of Levi. But can you imagine, she had to give up the very thing that was a part of everything that she was to save his life. She had to find a way to save his life for greater situations. And it's amazing how she was still able to even hear the voice of God, knowing that she had to give her son up. But mothers can do that. Mothers can still hear what they need to hear in the midst of trial. Regardless of what is going on around them, they are able to hear what they need to hear to help us out. My mother used to hear, with all the turmoil that was going on around her, and still have the wisdom and the knowledge of God to direct. Here this woman is, just the woman of Levi. She's about to give up her son to save his life. They never mention her name. They never make it important that she gave birth to Moses. All they say is that she conceived. But you have to think about something. What she gave birth to represents who she was. It tells the story of her life. She put together an ark for him. And the materials that she used in the ark are the same materials that they used, that Noah used in the ark. The same materials. So she had to be listening to God in the midst of knowing that her life was about to be changed forever. She put him in this, and something else amazes me about this. 3 months. The number three just keeps arising. I never paid much attention to that Moses, after she gave him up, that he was taken care of by two other women. God's number three, it speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, meaning that God has something to do with everything that happens in our lives. Our mothers were birthed to give birth to us. I probably couldn't have had any other mother than the one that I had, because she's the only one that understood who I was, what I was, and what I was to become. I thank God for mothers. But I'm finding out that everybody that gives birth isn't always a mother. It's the truth. If we read down a little bit more, it says in the fifth verse, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Now, she didn't go to get it, but she sent her maid to fetch it. We always, you know, Cecil D. DeMille tell us that the Pharaoh's daughter took him out of the water. And that's what we believe. But it was her maid that took him out of the water. Something else I didn't realize was that she didn't raise him. Y'all don't hear me this morning. There's a lot of mothers that gave birth that raised their children. There's a lot of mothers that didn't give birth to them that raised the children. And there's a lot of mothers that are grandmothers that are raised the children. There's usually, sometimes there's three women in a person's life to help them reach the standard that they need to reach. Why? Because what we don't understand is when what God created woman for is supernatural meaning. Men don't want to accept the fact, but unfortunately he had to put us to sleep to open us up to get the best part and the strongest part. Y'all don't want to hear me this morning. He took the ribs out of a man to create a woman. And then he didn't use the help of a man to create her. So he made her special from the very beginning. Now he got on his high horse, and he didn't like the fact that God had put him to sleep to create something that he didn't have no part in. But God did it nevertheless. And from that moment forth, God has established that the church has always been according to the woman. That's why in any church you go to, the majority of the church are women. I'm not trying to cut my own throat, but they seem to be more spiritual in a lot of cases than the men. And the brothers ain't agreeing with me this morning. When she had opened and saw the child, she told the maid to fetch it. When she had opened it and she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' child. Who had compassion on him? The maid had compassion on him. We always assumed that it was Pharaoh's daughter that had compassion on him. It was the maid. She was the one who took him out of the water. It wasn't Pharaoh's daughter. It was the maid. She took him out of the water. A lot of times women don't have the necessities that they need to raise the children that they have. But they find a way to get the job done. What I found out, what Moses' mother did, she sacrificed everything that she was to make sure that her son lived. And she believed God in spite of, and she sent him, put him in a river afloat. But see, God has always got a ram in the bush. Just so happened that Miss Pharaoh was walking along the bank, but her maids, now, like me and Brother Tim understood, the water is murky and it's dirty. So Pharaoh's daughter ain't going to get near the water. But the maids were walking along the water side, and they saw the basket. They saw the child. And when she took it out, she had compassion on the child. Now remember, this maid wasn't Hebrew. It says here that she said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, she said, go and call and tell thee, I'll get thee a nurse, a Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee. So she's volunteering to get a Hebrew nurse for her to nurse the child. But Pharaoh's daughter tell her, no, you do it. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. Sometimes others will nurse your children. When I was growing up in the neighborhood, when it was back in, you know, them days, you liable to walk down the street and got whipped by anybody. You might be 6-7 houses down the road, think you're getting away with something, and she come out of the house and lay into you. And you had better not open your mouth. Because every woman on that block was your mother, looking out for your well-being. Motherhood is a way of life. It's something that's manifested from the inside of them. I can remember when my mother wouldn't eat so that we could eat. And she wouldn't buy clothes. She'd walk around in smocks so that we would have clothes to wear to school. They make sacrifices. And God understood that when he created her, that she was going to make the ultimate sacrifice when it took the time. Here we have three women whose lives are about to be changed. The second woman was the maid, and she nursed the child. And what she got was, and I will give thee thy wages, even though you're not going to be working right. And so that meant that she wasn't even in the same house with them. She had to leave where she was in a life of luxury to move off to take care of Moses someplace else. Because the Pharaoh's daughter told her, well, I'll tell you what, you nurse him for me and I will give you the same wages. I'll pay you just like you're still here with me. So she nursed this child and she raised this child, and all we know her as is the maid. A lot of mothers don't have names. But they ought to be called deliverers, healers, and miracle workers. My mother worked a lot of miracles with stuff that she didn't have. Mothers work miracles. So after she got through, Pharaoh's daughter, after she got the nurse, the child grew, and she brought him under Pharaoh's daughter, and then she became Pharaoh's daughter's son. Moses had three women in his life that helped him reach that point that he was about to reach. Look at Mary. She made the supreme sacrifice to give birth to Jesus. She experienced humiliation, persecution. She was talked about, abused, called all kind manner of names. Because God was bringing forth a man-child without the help of a man. And she accepted it. Mothers deal with a whole lot. And they put up with a whole lot. Because I found out most mothers realize that the one that they're making the supreme sacrifice for is a part of who they are. It's unfortunate, though, that we have to get to the age that we are to realize the sacrifices that they made. If you're with your mother today, don't wait till she's down here to give her her roses. Realize what she's done for you. I didn't like everything my mother told me to do, and I said some things I shouldn't have said to her. Let me tell you, it will haunt you for the rest of your life. Because you will always be wondering if you made it right. I thank God for my mother. Thank God for the mothers that have made sacrifices upon sacrifice, 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 upon sacrifices, upon sacrifice. Well, I'm running out of breath because I could just keep saying sacrifice and sacrifice because it don't never stop. Amen. It never stops. Everyone stay. Father, we thank you for our mothers here and abroad. We thank you for the sacrifices they made that we can reach the goals that we have reached. So Father, I ask you today to strengthen these mothers, to encourage them in the depths of their souls, that they might understand that which they have sowed, if it hasn't already brought forth good fruit, it shall bring forth good fruit. So, Father, I pray that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them, and that you would bless them. From the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet, I thank you, Father, for moving by your Spirit in the mighty and the wonderful name of Jesus. There are some mothers in here that are going through. There are some mothers in here that are absolutely going through. At home, jobs. Your finances, your bodies. And you have been praying for God to move. This morning, we're going to stand in agreement with you. If you're not ashamed that you're one of those mothers, I want you to come stand across this front this morning. I'm going to take it a little bit further. If you're here with your mother and you're not afraid to admit that you might not have done her the way you should have done her, I want you to come down here. Lamb of God, you see everyone that's standing down here this morning. For whatever reason they may be standing here, we're standing with them. And we're believing you, Father, to do a work in their lives, in their minds, in their hearts, and in their spirits. We are determined that you are. And you shall move in a supernatural way. And you shall strengthen these mothers' hearts. And you shall touch these children's hearts. And you shall bring it to a place, Father, where you shall get the glory and the honor. The most important thing that we need to manifest itself in our lives, Father, is love. So that's what we're asking for the manifestation of, is love. Because love conquers a multitude of sin, the old nature. Love gives us the ability to love without seeing, to love without understanding, to love without believing. So Father, in the name of Jesus, as we touch and anoint your people this morning, Lord God, you're going to do a work in their minds that shall, their minds that shall be renewed and their hearts shall be changed. And they shall be transformed into that they probably want to be anyway. But because of circumstance and situation and heartache. But Father, we put our confidence in you this morning. We trust in you and we believe in you to do a supernatural work. For you are God, and we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor. In Jesus' name.